This morning, we'll have the Old Testament reading from Genesis 18, 1 through 10. A son prepared to Abraham and Sarah. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of the Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and he saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran to the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened to the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that they had prepared and set it before them. He stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. This is the word of the Lord.
And our New Testament lesson from the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Hear the gospel message this morning. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her, then, to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Wondrous and gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for your word that guides our path and lightens our hearts, that helps us to serve you. Gracious God, be with us as we listen to your word, as it moves through us, as it pushes us and guides us, as it helps to be your disciples. Gracious God, open your word to us and open our minds and our hearts to the movement of your Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. It's funny that this sermon kind of was written with the vacation right in the middle. So there were reflections that I thought of as we set out, and boy, did they come true. As I sat down to write, I thought about the trip down to Williamsburg, and I realized that at some point, I was going to be Martha behind the wheel of the car driving. And the kids, maybe Sarah, if she doesn't have her audio book in and she's in Sarah world, we'll hit a point where we go past something. It was Norfolk, by the way, and I'm on the middle of the road, I'm focused on what's ahead, and there's an aircraft carrier off to the side. And what comes from the back seat? "Dad, do you see that? Oh my God, oh what, I gotta get a picture." Meanwhile, I'm driving through the Navy Yard, through the highway, and I can't turn. It's one of those things where as we're looking through our scriptures, there are moments where we see these amazing moments, but we often don't stop. We don't take the moment to pause and listen. Sometimes because moments are we're driving on the road, but others because we're distracted, we're occupied, we're like Martha. You see, Martha is focused on being hospitable. She's making sure that Jesus is welcome in her home. And here, she's really frustrated with her sister. But there's a huge problem in what happens next. And the big problem is that, as I said with the kids, we over-identify with Mary and Martha. Usually we overemphasize Martha and we identify with Martha. We don't like when Jesus corrects Martha because it's not fair. Martha's out there doing all the work. Martha is being a good host. And Mary is just sitting there. That's not fair. All of us who have siblings or perhaps have been in Jesus' feet with a child of our own and had to say, it's okay, don't you need to get in and help your sibling. All of us have these moments in our lives where we sit here and we can say, I don't like that Mary doesn't get called out. Let me add a little extra something to this because the Midwesterner in me and Midwestern hospitality is a thing. We feed you and we serve you coffee anytime you come to visit. And I want Martha to have help serving the coffee and the snacks. I want Mary to get up and go help. The Midwesterner in me just really bristles at Mary sitting and listening. It looks so unfair. And the problem is, what makes it unfair is our own baggage that we bring into this scripture. How often do we have a moment in scripture that just pulls at a moment in our own lives? And not in a good way. Our own baggage prevents us from really getting into the nitty-gritty of scripture. We almost have to enter this lab-type moment where all our past life is set aside. We take it, we put it into a box, we lock it away, and scripture is just scripture, and we take it as what it is. Yeah, that doesn't work so well, does it? We have to take a moment and step back and look at scripture without our own background in it to see what is the problem. But we need to understand where Jesus is in this moment. Because as we've seen, he is on that steady walk, that steady journey towards Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the cross, the garden, the tomb, all of that is weighing on him. He has set his sights, as scripture said. Ever since Pentecost, we've looked at how he is preparing himself for that day, that moment, and for what is to come. And he's trying to get the disciples ready. All the disciples, not just the 12, all of them. And like any teacher, coach, or leader, their focus, his focus, is on them being ready for what's going to happen. And so he's doing his best to try and prepare them. That's his priority, is the disciples' preparedness. Getting them prepared so that as much as can be, they don't do, well, everything that they end up doing. It's getting them ready for the moment to come. But Jesus is also preparing himself. We see the weight, finally, when he's in the garden, of what is going on. And in this mind space, this emotional space, here is Martha welcoming him into her home. And she's got a pretty clear plan about what things are going to be, what it's going to look like. Mary's going to help her. They're going to put out this nice big spread for Jesus, and he is going to feel welcome and at home. And but is this what Jesus wants? Is this what Jesus needs? And Martha is so busy, she doesn't stop and pause. She goes into hospitality mode. She goes into culturally supposed to happen mode, where the guest comes in and you make a spread for him, you welcome him, you do this, this, this. And Mary understands somehow what is going on. And so what does Mary do while Jesus is talking? She just sits down and listens. She listens to what he's teaching about, what he's saying. Martha needs to hear this message as much as Mary does. But Martha, well, she's doing that flight of the bumblebee thing that we all do when we host. Turning every couch upside down, sweeping underneath, lifting up the cushions, maybe finding a way to hide the fact that there's a pound of dust somewhere. Doing all of those things to make things ready, right? And of course, we understand Martha's not happy. She's doing this. And Martha's just sitting there. But Martha is too busy to see the moment. She's too busy to sit down and listen to what Jesus is talking about. She's too distracted to hear that she should be sitting next to Mary instead of worried about whether or not the cakes are burning. She should be sitting there and listening. There is a huge communication problem in this story. Communication from them figuring out what Jesus wants them to do. Because I guarantee it's not clean the house. It's not make the dinner. It's sit down and listen. Luke uses that great word, distracted. Perispateo. And don't ask me to try and say it again. I got it right the first time. It means distracted, but it also means to be pulled away or over-occupied. It's a word that means that you've been pulled out or drawn out. And where is Mary? Martha's drawn herself out of the moment. She's pulled herself out of the moment. She isn't listening. She's following the correct cultural guidelines, so to speak. She's putting on a spread. She's being a host. But she's also too distracted and too busy. When we think about this scripture and how it plays out, we also see again, how God measures what is right and what is good, and how culturally sometimes that doesn't line up. When we see God rate the kings in Scripture, there are good kings who are followers of God, do what God says, and there are other kings who maybe they win a bunch of battles, maybe the economy is good, but they are not following God, and that's what makes them a bad king. And here, the cultural side of things is exactly what Martha's doing. Martha's checking all the right boxes to be culturally appropriate for the moment. Can you imagine going to Thanksgiving at somebody's house and you get told, no, we're not going to set up dinner. No, we're just going to sit and listen. It would drive us nuts. What do you mean? Is the turkey ready? We would panic. And Martha would panic. But Mary somehow gets on the right path. Christ sets Martha on the right path. He guides her to it, so to speak. He shows her that the direction that Mary is on is the better path. And I want you to think about that too. Because he doesn't tear into Martha and say, I can't believe I'm coming. I've got the weight of what's coming on my head, and you can't listen to me, Martha. He doesn't rip her apart. He doesn't shame her for it. He tells her, no, the better path is what your sister is doing. So you should do that. There's a kindness that allows both Martha to correct and save face without shame, without having to double down on what she's doing. Jesus has that amazing ability. I don't know, maybe Son of God might be the reason, where he can get everyone on the same page, onto the right page. Sometimes he just needs a little more time with us. He's preparing everyone in the room for what's going to happen down the road. And that's the better path. Sure, hospitality is one way to do things. But what is the better path here? What is the better path for the disciples to follow? See, Martha gets some of what Jesus is. She knows that he is someone to honor, someone to care for when he visits. And yet her way of caring is not the way Christ wants. Christ wants listening. He wants hearing from us. He wants us to sit down and hear what he's teaching and what he's saying. He wants us not necessarily to serve in the way we want to serve, but in how he wants us to serve. You see, both Mary and Martha are serving Christ. But Mary's serving in the way Christ wants them to serve, by listening, by hearing what he's saying. In many ways, Martha is our world and us. We're so distracted and busy by the world, by work, by life, that it's hard to sit down and just listen to what God is saying to us. It's hard to not get overly complicated in the things we're doing. Martha's dealing with her own cultural push of honor and shame. A good host has to do this. A good host has to do that. She's checking all the boxes. But what is the right box is the question here. And that's where we get a challenge, because we're busy. We're so busy. Even when we're on vacation, we're busy. You know how crazy it is to have two kids sit at you and look and just say, "What are we doing next?" And your response is, "We're going to sit and relax and cool down. But we have to do something." No. Sometimes the greatest thing we can do is sit and listen. Sit and serve. And so we need to be careful in our world and in our lives that we aren't Martha-ing it. Yes, I just made Martha into a verb. To Martha it means that you're too busy. Too busy with this, that, and everything outside. And sit and listen. And then when Christ tells you to get moving, well, okay, you get moving. But you got to listen first. You have to listen to what God is saying and how God is guiding. And that is the better path for all of us. So my brothers and sisters, let us listen to God. Let us listen to how he's guiding us, because this is what discipleship is all about. This is what the church is all about, is listening to what God is saying to us. And yes, are we going to be tempted to be distracted? Yeah, it's going to happen. But guess what? We know the better path, and we know the choice to make. And so, brothers and sisters, may we make it. Amen. And now let us respond to God through our gifts.